Good evening, everyone. Poseidon said, release the Kraken. And then the Flyers laughed. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is game two, our second post-game show. Probably, Nick, since we've been together, the best game we have witnessed, watched, got to enjoy in a long time. And I'm sure Zach would agree. Before I have that answered with me tonight, Nick Descaltosti, Zach, my dad used to play hockey, Kinderchuk. We are Flyer and Ice, and we are part of the Heat Ratio Sports Network. Again, a very satisfying victory. Obviously, we don't want to get all excited after the second game, but after the
first yes, we game, do. We yeah, sure okay. as hell do.
Right, I'm trying to stay grounded here. Yeah, we do because we have not seen
leave
a game
your
like
feet.
This in forever. Zach, build on that.
Yeah, what else do you want? Even six goals, it almost felt like the two fights that we got on top of that was just unfair. As far as an NHL watching experience, if I were to introduce someone to the game of hockey tonight, would have been a great example. And then, of course, when they ask, is it always like this? I'd say, yes, this is always. This is what Philly hockey's always like.
And I thought you were finished there.
No, I mean, that was about it. I'm still just kind of on the come down from that whole thing. I expected them to beat the Kraken because I expect them to beat the Canucks, and the Canucks are better than the Kraken. But I did not expect them to dominate the Kraken.
No, I completely agree. And I love Seeler on the blue line for his grit, but I would recommend stay away from fighting giants. But he, I mean, 6'7", my God. But That grit, Thompson's grit. I mean, what I loved about the Thompson grit is that he wouldn't let it go from earlier in the game. He wanted revenge for Giroux from that incident that took place almost two periods earlier. And that's what I've been dying to see. That's the kind of team grit that I really like. You don't have to win the fights, but you have to be willing to drop the gloves, and especially for your teammates. Nick?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it was, 5-1 going into the third period, and you saw just about everything you thought you were going to see. And it's like, okay, probably have a nice, relaxing third period. I don't think we're going to see much activity. And then Nate DeFrey, Train Thompson comes in and takes care of what should be taken care of in a situation like that when Bastion goes after Giroux early in the game. No, you don't do that. You don't go after our guy. And you know what? We're probably not going to see you for quite a while. We're going to take care of business in the third period and make sure that you know and everybody else knows that's not going to be tolerated any longer on this hockey club.
Exactly. Any longer, because it was tolerated last year, and that would have gone wouldn't have been dealt with last year. So that was great to see. So my first puck point, again, sponsored by Fuse Barbershop, and you'll see at the bottom, you'll see you get 20% off if you had mentioned Flyer and Ice at Fuse Barbershop, the great joint in Newtown. Bounce back. I was looking for a bounce back, and boy, did we get one. But what I do when I watch the games is, being the concrete, sequential, anal retentive guy that I am, I take detailed notes. I have my laptop in my lap, and I'm taking notes. And, you know, listen, before the floodgates opened, there was a sequence around 13 minutes where both Ellis and Provorov did not get the puck out of the defensive zone that led to opportunities. And then I noticed later, and I texted you guys, they were split up after that for the remainder of the period. So that kind of was intriguing. And I will take this and be firm with it, that if Carter Hart doesn't make the save on Domskoy, on Eberle, and on Donato, this game doesn't look like this. This looks like a game from last year, especially the Domskoy one, where he had a partial breakaway on a horrible turnover by Yandel. Yandel did not get the puck deep at the blue line. It led to a semi-breakaway, and Hart stoned him. Last year, he doesn't bail out his team, and then the floodgates would open for the Kraken. Would you agree, Zach?
Absolutely. That was every game last year. A mistake leads to a goal that's not necessarily Carter Hart's fault, but gets in Carter Hart's head. And then, 16, 17 minutes later, we're seeing a goal that is Carter Hart's fault. And we didn't see that tonight.
Nick?
Yeah, and absolutely. The, you know, there was so much, you know, it feels like yesterday, but the first few minutes of this period, they were definitely a little flat. I mean, they were outscored or they were being outshot, I think, 6-2 or 7-2 in the first few minutes. And it's like, oh boy, is this another, you know, AV's group is coming out a little sluggish or slow with where's the jump? And then you've got, you know, you've got the breakaway, you know, on Donskoy, and he makes the great save. And then like a minute later, Donato's left by himself in the front of the net, a backhand shot. He makes a nice shoulder save on that. And then obviously the lights out save on Eberle. I mean, that was just ridiculous. And that was all before we scored our first goal. So, yeah, I mean, three absolutely really good saves, far from routine. And, you know, those, you know, like Zach just said, those are the things we were missing last year, you know, as well as the routine saves that we saw, you know, during the rest of the game, you know, and that led to that great give and go. I love seeing that. I think the chemistry on that first line is going to start to just snowball into such a good way when you see a top pairing like that play together over and over and over again. Now that they've been with each other for a few years, those give and goes don't happen by accident. That is total internal chemistry that is going to just, we're going to see them build on that all year long.
No, I completely agree. Do we have to have a belief now that Carter Hart builds on this game and that confidence switch goes off, Zach? Because we talked about it in detail the other day, how we were both concerned.
Yeah, it doesn't take long to string together a couple games that build your confidence into someone who is now capable of playing like the all-star that I believe lives within Carter Hart. So it's a quick turnaround for a goalie like that. Goalies get hot, and goalies get hot quickly, really, really quickly. And I think Carter Hart definitely can build on this game. And even, you know, he had his rough period in the second period. He played much better in the third period last year. You just start stringing together good minutes. And certainly Carter Hart has put together 80 good minutes at this point. So, and I can't wait for till we can just kind of start dismissing him as a talking point for the game when he just becomes, all right, they're going out there, Carter Hart. When we start to worry about putting the backup in, that's and that becomes a talking point. But when we can just count on Carter Hart for being, if not always brilliant, consistently good and consistently solid, that'll be great. And that's when I think this team can turn into something. You know, it felt special going into this offseason. And I know it's because last season was just so dreadful and god awful, but I let myself and my optimism get to a point of insanity. Like I've way too much optimism right now. I know, Dan, you and I talked about Cam Atkinson in a more realistic manner. There was a point during August when I'm like, why couldn't he score 50? Maybe he just hasn't played with the right guys yet. And I kind of want to get back there. And part of that is, you know, me saying to people 2 years ago, Carter Hart is going to be a perennial Vezina contender. And I hope by mid-November, I'm truly, truly thinking that way again.
Well, the key to any team is balance. I don't need Atkinson to score 50 goals. And I know you said that in jest, but you remember the days when they had, they would show stats, Carter, Richards, yada, yada, yada. Like they had five guys with 25 plus goals.
Yeah.
Balance. That's what I need. It looks like TK's off to a great start. Farabee picked up where he left off. Giroux sometimes would go starts of seasons with holding stick tight. You know, he's two goals in two games. So it looks like they're off to a good start with team balance and scoring. And everyone shifted tonight. I mean, if you get a goal from Justin Braun, you know you got to play the lottery. So Zach, one of the points you were concerned with that they seem to have made the adjustment was special teams. Now, we didn't score, but I'd rather – when a game gets out of hand offensively, when we have it under control, I don't care that we go 0-for-2 on the power play when we put five, six goals in the net. But I am glad we kept them to 0-for-4. So a little relief there too.
I was a lot more worried about the penalty kill than the power play. I think Keith Yandle, that's where you're really gonna see him as a great acquisition. And the guy's got over 500 assists as a defenseman in his career. I think there's 20 players that have done that. To have him on the point along with Giroux on that unit that struggled so badly last year, I think we're gonna see that really revamped. And then if you do have a power play unit with Cam Atkinson, and that's your second unit, you're pretty well set when it comes to special teams offensively. And I would say that Cam is going to also add to that penalty killing unit. And, you know, that's the last thing that I'm going to allow myself become truly optimistic on, because last year it was historically bad. So when you come off a historic awfulness, it's going to take me a little bit longer to be convinced that you've put together some good PK units. But tonight, I don't know. Why? Let's just put together 20 wins. Giroux's on pace for an 80-goal season. Let's just revel in that for a little bit.
I'll revel. Nick, on the penalty kill, did you notice – I don't know if you watched the first game. I know you had a busy weekend. The first game, they were sagging big time. I mean, collapsing in front of the net. It was ridiculous. And Zach and I were talking about a sequence where Sanheim got just bull-rushed into the net. Mm-hmm. They didn't seem to sag as much tonight. Do you think that was something they really addressed at practice? What did you notice on the penalty kill?
Well, I mean, I think you got to just really apply more of the fundamentals over and over and over again when it comes to the penalty kill. I mean, yeah, you got to be physical and clear people out. I mean, that's just by nature, you've got to be able to do that. You can't be coached to do that. But when they stay within themselves, within the box, they seem like they do better. You know, everybody has their spot. They have their position. They look structured. And physically, they played well and they played smart. So, you know, yeah, that's all you can really ask for in all those things. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you're being outmanned 5-4, and it's going to take good, smart players, a lot of practice and continuity to make sure that you see things, you know, that part of the game, that part of the special teams be consistent throughout the rest of the season.
And Zach, Mr. Nasty, still is not in the lineup, so he will only help.
Right.
When Risto comes back.
Yeah, that's another player I was just really high on. Again, you know, small sample size in terms of how much I've seen him play, but what I've seen, he's a brute out there. And it's always fun to have another brute on the ice, especially one as big as he is. We'll see how much it changes the whole atmosphere on the ice. But after tonight, that felt like a Risto type game, just with you know, without pushing Risto, other guys around. Right. So, I'll be more than happy to see him come back. But the single thing that I was happiest tonight to see was Claude Giroux made a superstar shot. And I know, Dan, you're a big fan of balance. I would love to have a bona fide superstar on this team. And the way that I'm feeling about the you know, you brought up Nate Thompson clinging to, you know, an unjust injustice from the first period to protect his guy. If Giroux can have one more year where he puts up 90, 95 points, and he's the face of a team that you can kind of fear because of his skill and because the rest of his team's got his back. Man, when that goal went in, I'm like, that is the Claude Giroux that Dave Hackstall didn't let us see for a long time. But maybe we can see for one more year before you know, we get into some offseason contract ugliness.
Well, the way the athletes train today, you know, Bobby Clark was an old man at 33, and that's why he retired. Claude Giroux maybe just takes the excitement of playing for a great new team to bring back his mojo.
Yeah.
You know, they were, you know, 2 years ago they played well, but last year, you know, everyone had their bubble burst. Team defense. That's always been a concern. And that's one of the things I'm constantly scrutinizing, how they get the puck out of the defensive zone. I referenced the giveaway by Ellis and Provorov on the same shift. 2 minutes later, Sanheim had an unspeakable giveaway, a Sanheim-like giveaway that he had last year. Yandle, I mentioned, on the offensive blue line. Other than that, things were pretty clean. I mean, did you see what I saw, Nick? You're really on top of that as well.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have to clean up some things when it comes to that, you know, because to quote the immortal Dennis Green, the Kraken are who we thought they were. So this is not, you know, right. This is not, you know, we're not going up against Washington and Carolina and Boston here. So, you know, those kinds of mistakes are going to lead to a lot more odd man rushes going the other way if we don't clean them up. On the other hand, on the offensive side, they really enjoyed joining the rush today, didn't they?
Yeah.
Man, all of them. I mean, they were just having a great time. And I think the forwards are understanding how to pick up for the defense, you know, when that's happening. So you're not really seeing too much of a mishap going on, you know, in the event that something does happen and transition, you know, quickly is going back the other way. But I mean, they've got to clean some things up for sure. I mean, the breakout is still, you know, if you had a pinpoint one or two things that to come out of this game that maybe, you know, not to complain about, but to just maybe put the microscope under and say, you know, let's see a little better job here with the breakout. We've been talking about that for a really long time. And I think they need to do a better job there.
Zach, you wanted to jump in. I could tell.
Well, they're doing, but I think I texted you, Dan, you mentioned they're creeping in a little bit more, and Sanheim led to that freak Broussard goal. By stepping in, intercepting the pass and kind of keeping that play in. And there were several times that I was seeing a player pick up the puck in the neutral zone thinking, you know, it's got to be Sanheim or whoever. And it turned out to be Farabee because Sanheim had cheated and gone in so much. I like that. Obviously, you can't be all offense first and everything, but the fact that they are joining the rush. I mean, we saw that the team was so bifurcated last year because there was just so much tension surrounding the awful defense. For Sanheim to have the confidence to go in and do those sort of things, I think is great. He's certainly a sloppy player, and he's going to do some sloppy things. You just hope to minimize that. But if he was the sloppiest defenseman I ever saw was Paul Coffey, but he made up for it, obviously. Oh, yeah. If Sanheim can kind of make you overlook some of those dumb giveaways he has, especially if they don't get punished for them, by making up for it by cheating in and helping out the offense, that's definitely a trade I'm willing to make. And it does, and it shows confidence too. It shows that he's not afraid to get in there.
Yeah, and this is the year he's finally got to, you know, break out of that shell already. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, he showed flashes of it 2 years ago and then just was awful last year. Now, real fast before we close out team defense, I noticed a sequence that really impressed me. And, you know, we always talk about part of team defense isn't just getting out of your zone. It's the back check. And one of the biggest criminals of back checking has always been Travis Konechny. And he did a beautiful back check where he skated his ass off, lifted up the guy's stick, and broke up a play in our zone. So kudos to him. And again, it's all about buying in. Because if you don't buy in at this stage of the game, you're going to be shipped out. It's that simple. So did you guys see the back check that I saw as well?
I did, Dan, and I wanted to touch on one thing. You know, when it comes to defense, it's not necessarily defense, but how they play when they don't have the puck in the offensive zone and the battles that they were winning, you know, in the corners of the offensive zone. One in particular that I saw that Farabee is now getting involved a little more physically with was on the Ellis goal. You know, they were mushing in the corner there, and Farabee was battling, and it kind of squeezed out to Broussard, and Broussard hit Ellis on that one timer, which was a really, really pretty goal. But that all happened because of the way, you know, they're playing, you know, away from the puck now and battling for the puck and really competing their asses off to make sure that, you know, they're just not losing possession time after time like they did last year.
Yeah.
Very good point. Now, before we go on to three stars and wrap up our post game show, we don't want to make this a long show. I'll ask you both this question. You know, I took a peek at the schedule. We play Boston and Florida, our next two games. We just talked about, will this game bring the confidence out of Carter Hart? Is it a little bit nerve-wracking that to build on the confidence, he has to face these two juggernaut teams to maybe prove that he has indeed fought off his demons? What are your thoughts about, and will he play both games, do you think? Nick first.
No, I don't think he's going to play both games. Okay. I think there's going to be a stretch where you're going to see a little bit of Jones. In particular, you know, Boston, Florida, I think one of those is going to go to Jones. It's Boston, Florida, right?
Correct. Yeah.
And then out west, you're going to see, I think there might be a back-to-back game in Calgary and Vancouver, I believe. So you're going to see Jones play one out of if there's a three game week kind of play going on, you'll see Jones in there playing one of those both weeks coming up, or both in those two games, the Boston Carolina, the Boston Florida series. They'll probably be, I think Jones will play against Boston, which he should. I mean, you know, you just can't, you know, just to sit him doesn't, you know, I think he understands what the dynamics are about going forward in this with, you know, with having Jones there and him having to get some time. But I think his confidence is going to be fine. You know, again, he's a youngster. It's going to take year after year. It's going to get better and better and better. But, you know, I'm with Zach, you know, as he said in the opening there, you know, we talked about it in our last podcast before the season started. I have him, I really believe he can and will be a top 10 goalie in the league this year. He's going to bounce back. He's got the pedigree. He's got the work ethic. You know, he's got the IQ. You know, he looked really, really, really sharp today. His angles were really good. He seemed laser focused. Just head down, kind of watching and following the puck all along. Obviously, and that crazy, crazy save from Eberle. So, we're going to see a little bit of Jones. And honestly, I think that's a good thing. I might be one of the minority here, but I like Jones. I think he had a couple of really bad years and a bad opportunity on a bad team in San Jose. And, you know, if you look at his body of work as a goaltender in the league over the last 9 or 10 years, he was very, very good, very formidable goalie. And I think he'll do a nice job. I'm excited about the goaltending tandem there.
No, I have no problem with them giving Jones an opportunity. I was like, Grubauer started the first four games for the Kraken, and Drager is a damn good goalie.
Yeah.
So I was surprised to hear that Grubauer played all the games. My thinking is this, and Zach, you can build on this a little bit. When a guy plays his ass off, I want to see the momentum carry for one more game. Maybe play Jones against the Panthers. I'd like to see Hart go against Boston. It's not they get a day off. It's kind of like when a guy goes 4-for-4, how do you sit him the next day?
Right.
In a baseball lineup. That's my thought, Zach.
I see no reason to sit him unless you can see that the confidence is shaking again. You know, on those West Coast trips when they have back-to-backs, there's going to be physical exhaustion that sets in. So that's when you get your break. But, and I guess it hinges sort of on his performance against Boston. If he just gets destroyed, you know, you kind of have to reevaluate. But then you kind of have to reevaluate, well, how much of a balance are we going to have between Hart and Jones? But for me, I'm riding Carter Hart until he tells me stop. Tells me stop by his performance, especially here early in the season when you still have, you know, all this enthusiasm going into it. He knows he has a chance. You know, everybody's writing off last year. That's, at least in his mind, that's how it should be. Let him define himself by giving him as much ice time as absolutely possible. Because to me, the upside of a sturdy Jones is pretty minimal. Even if he's okay, where does that the Flyers really get you? The Flyers would be in trouble if he ends up playing 25, 30 games this year. That means that Carter's really been shaky and that the Flyers are probably not really in any sort of playoff talk. So for me, it's all about building the key component of your team. And, the key component for this Flyers team that's been missing forever is Carter Hart. We have a chance to build it here. Imagine if he goes out and has two great performances against the Bruins and the Panthers. This kid's going to be riding sky high, and that kind of stuff can last for a little bit.
That's my thinking too, Zach. And Nick, to your point, I mean, if this was a condensed schedule like it was last year, you have no choice. But, you know, it's kind of normalized again. I mean, Henrik Lundqvist played 90% of every game every season. Patrick Waugh. I know we're going back a little bit, but Carter Hart's still a kid. You know, he's young. I'm with Zach. Ride him until he shows maybe that his goals were fatigue related.
Well, then that's always go back to the bullies too. But I think Bernie Perron played like 74 games one year, and he smoked cigarettes. So it's like, you know, physically.
Yeah.
I, my hope is Carter can handle it.
Yeah.
So, from a coaching standpoint, from a coaching standpoint, the only thing that comes into mind as a coach is when you do have a goalie that's riding that hot, and you feel like maybe a break will continue to keep him riding hot. So you're being either proactive or reactive. Now you're being reactive if, you know, you could have made a decision to keep him from taking a few steps back. And by doing that, you know, you bring somebody else in and continue the momentum afterwards. Whereas you put him into a situation like, you know, Boston and then a Florida on the next game, which Florida is a good team offensively.
Yeah.
And now you're thinking to yourself, okay, you know, if he, you know, he has a bad, really bad first period, we could take a few steps back. Let me get Jones in there, you know, give the kid a rest. He's on, he's already riding a high. He'll get back in riding a high. So I don't think you lose momentum by pulling him out, because at some point you're going to have to do that anyway. But again, from a coaching standpoint, it's all the proactive, reactive thing. Do you think it's a good time to take him out? Because maybe we could see a setback against a very good, hot offensive hockey team. That's all.
I got you. All right, gentlemen. So the three-star segment, tonight's actually – tonight's three-star would be – is really a joke, because you can go 10 stars deep on this one. Really, you can name 10 players and we can't argue with each other. So I'll start with you, Zach. Who are your three stars?
Well, making the most of his 8 minutes or change of ice time, I'm going to go with Nate Thompson, number three.
You know what? I like that. I know the angle you're playing there, too. Very good.
Number two star, Joel Farabee. If he can get another guy who can put the puck in the net as prolifically as Drew, I think is capable of, that would be great to see. And then number one, I'm going to go Carter Hart.
I can't argue there, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, pretty close for me. I'm going to go Carter Hart, number three. I'm going to go TK, number two, just because that give and go was just so sweet to add on to the goal that he scored, which was, you know, shoot the puck, follow through with your own rebound and put it in the net. He had a really solid game. And I want to go with Giroux, number one. I mean, he just played he played like a captain tonight. He really brought it from every aspect, and he scored a goal. And I just – yeah, like Zach said earlier, I mean, how awesome would it be to see him really just come back into like a superstardom kind of a role, kind of a player really in the NHL. And, you know, because how often did we talk about last year? Who's our superstar? We're really, I mean, we lost that last year with him. And, you know, to not have to go out and get somebody and just kind of revive Drew in that point, yeah, number one star for him.
No, again, I'm sure the names I'll mention, you'll probably say, oh, that makes sense too. Before we get to my three stars, by mentioning Giroux, the other thing you can't minimize, and you know how big I am with faceoff percentage, they won 62% of the faceoffs tonight. And they did the same thing in the loss the other night. They are a great faceoff team. And for as bad as they were last year, they generally won the percentage of faceoffs in each game they played. Imagine if they didn't. So that's one thing that with Couturier and Giroux and now Thompson as a defensive center, they have really good faceoff men. So my three stars. Number one, I had to go Hart. Just by me giving him the number one star, I'm going to build his confidence because he knows what a critic I am of his play. So because I know Carter watches our podcast. Number two, I went Derek Brassard.
Yeah.
I thought he had a hell of a game.
Did.
And he was a hell of an acquisition. That's the kind of low profile acquisition every team needs to make. And I thought for steady Freddiness, I went with Ryan Ellis as my third star. Plays great defensively, and he chipped in a goal tonight. Again, we named probably a machination of eight or nine names, and they all could have been three stars. So that's it, ladies and gentlemen. We had a game that we have not seen in a long time. And it's really weird to say. It really is. I mean, I started this podcast with Vance last year. And even the games early, if you guys remember, they were being dominated, but they were sneaking out points. And I just knew something wasn't right. There was a smoke and mirrors effect to all those early points they were building up. And then the house of cards eventually collapsed. Their style of play caught up to them. So this was the first, I don't want to hear the opponent. Like, remember the days when Jenna would chime in, Nick, with her comments about they're playing Buffalo, relax, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, they played who was on their schedule.
They did what they were supposed to do against the
team. Exactly. Yeah. Now, to Jenna's point last year, when they had one good win against Buffalo, they shit the bed like four or five straight games afterwards. So if Jenna's watching or anyone wants to chime in, I got you there. But again, after last year, you'll take any victories that you can get, moral and in this case, an actual victory. So I just wanted to say that it was a pleasure finally coming on with positive energy and not almost like we have to do a comedy routine to get through the show. So on behalf of Nick the Scout, Zach, my dad used to play hockey, Kindrechuk, one of the best podcasts you'll ever see. I am Dan Green. We are Flyer and Ice. We are part of the Heat Ratio Sports Network. I encourage you to subscribe to the Heat Ratio Sports Network. Tap the bell, and you'll be notified every time we come on. So once again, we have Boston coming up, followed by Florida. Hopefully, we'll see you after those games. Good night, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. Take care.
See you, buddies.
Bye, Zach. Thank you.
Bye, guys. No
problem. Later, guys.